You're listening to episode 348 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is Dr. April, and I'm thrilled that you're here. You know, one of the things that I am most passionate about all of the work that we do in Peak Mind is life design. I love the power that this field gives us in our ability to think about what our future might look like and take intentional steps to get there. I've talked a lot on this podcast about just how my experience losing my dad when I was younger and also my experience with living with multiple sclerosis for more than 25 years now, how that has shaped the way that I think about how precious life is and how short life is and what I want to do with mine while I'm here. And those are questions that I would encourage everyone to think about, even if you haven't gone through a tragedy that sort of shines a bright light on the importance of our lives. The fact is, we need to live like our life depends on it, because it really does. And anytime we can have a set of tools or some information that will help us do that in a better way, I'm a big fan. So with that lead in, I'm so excited for today's episode. Today's episode is really a way for us to think about, on the life design path, how we can craft that path in a way that is individual to us. Because the thing is, not everybody faces the same challenges. And here I'm talking about like internal mental challenges, right? And not everybody is motivated in the same way. Not everybody's afraid of the same things. We're all very individual in that way. And so today we're going to be speaking with an expert on a couple of frameworks that'll help you understand yourself at a deeper level. I can't even stress how important that is. And also make progress toward that future that you have envisioned and make sure that you're actually on the right path. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Libby Kim-Karen. She was a lifelong student of behavioral psychology and neuroassociative conditioning, and she took the opportunity while she was studying at Cambridge to undertake a degree in biological and biomedical science with a major in behavior, specifically the neural mechanisms of behavior. Libby is also a TEDx speaker and circle host, and she delivers her Tame Your Brain program of strategy and neurocoaching to the corporate world, leading change in management, communications, and mindset for success. I'm so excited about this conversation because there's so much in it that is going to resonate with you and who you are. And I want you to pay special attention to the very quick but powerful conversation we have about self-compassion. So many times, when we don't understand our own behavior and where it might be coming from, we can get really critical. And understanding the underlying mechanisms that are driving our behavior can quickly help us understand ourselves and become so much more self-compassionate. So don't miss that part in this interview. The whole thing is just masterful. It's just wonderful. So I'm so excited for you to meet Dr. Libby Kim-Karen. Libby, I am so excited to have you here on the show. And actually, I was excited before you came on. And then we started geeking out about books around the way that neurology and development and everything impacts our behavior. And so now I'm even more so, if that was possible. So thank you for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. And I've already just thought of another three books I need to tell you about. So after we finish, I'm going to be, we're going to like build a bookshelf together, I think. This is exciting. Thank you.
It's just collateral damage, my poor house, because of running this podcast and talking to so many amazing people. The number of I'm looking at them right now. The number of stacks of books that I have in my house is incredible. So
but
happy
it's
to
so
add
good,
to it,
isn't
though.
It
is. It's amazing. You are so interesting in your background, and you have developed some really cool models for, I would say, a couple of things: understanding ourselves and the way that we tend to show up and behave in the world, and also understanding some of the maybe neurological underpinnings behind that. Can you give us an overview of, maybe we start with your TAME model. Tell us a little bit about what it is and kind of give us the overview of it.
You are very kind. I love this field because as humans, we arrive perfect and then we screw it all up along the way, right?
Totally.
We sort of like roll on this muddy floor. We pick up this layer of crud and then we compound that by as grown-ups putting a shell over the top, like this crusty outer armor where we go, I don't know quite what I'm doing wrong, but I'm just feeling a bit spiky now. And once we start to unpeel, once we begin to like accept that we arrived perfect, we didn't do anything wrong, the universe doesn't hate us, and then we start to go, okay, so why am I doing what I'm doing? Then we start to get blinding clarity on how to make it different, how to design your life, how to actually live in a way that serves you, serves the world, and serves others. That's the goal, right? Nobody is here just to have a selfish experience. And the ultimate sad reality is we live for a very short time. We've got 99 years max on this planet. Then we die. Then we're remembered for a very short time by a very few number of people.
Yeah.
If that's all you want in life, then fine. But I think anyone listening to you, April, and anyone that's here in this space with you wants more than that, right?
Yeah.
And they want to live a bigger life, and they want to live a more impactful life, and they want to leave some sort of legacy, I guess. And this idea of legacy has compelled me since I first discovered this field 20 years ago. And I've been relentlessly zooming in on it, hence the bookshelf, ever since. And I even geeked out so much, I went and got a degree in the basis of this. I actually did 2 degrees. And I started with like the little babies of, you know, how does our neuropsychology form? So I did the neurophysiology of the neonate as my first zoom in. And I realized that all the neurons are there. It's just us that chooses how we wire and fire. That's it. And so we can start to, as soon as we get that understanding, as soon as we get this blinding realization that those voices in your head are you as well. those both the voices that beat you up and the voices that tell you when you've done something good and the voices that bitch about other people and the voices that play that endless comparisonitis, it's all you. As soon as you get the hang of that, you start to be able to shift things. So I built the Tame Your Brain model, and it's my pioneer piece for the world. And I was so excited when I built it because I came up with the 4 steps and then I realized it spelt out tame. And I was like,
this is great.
My God, I've just done something. I just built a thing.
And when actual science and results collide with marketing, it's amazing.
And this was the first point when I realized actually this could be useful for people. And I'd started sort of doing this myself in my business, and my business went up 300% overnight when I sort of pulled this together. And then I went, hang on, other people need to hear this. So I started to build it into a series of coaching initially. I started coaching people one-to-one, and then I was like, that's not enough. I'm only reaching one person every 2 hours. You know, I need to make this big. So then I built group coaching. That's not enough. I'm only reaching 10 people every 6 weeks. And so now I've actually got online training. I've got delivery systems. There's a book coming, and Tame Your Brain is becoming a bit of a movement. I've now got clients around the globe. So I sit here, I'm talking to you from just above London, just below Cambridge in the UK. I've got clients in Peru, Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada, you know, that's starting to be a global thing. So it's really exciting for me to see this happening and seeing these sort of very, very simple, but very clear 4 steps begin to be enacted in loads of different businesses around the world.
That's incredible. I would love for you to give us a quick overview of those 4 steps because we had a chance to chat a little bit before we hit the record button, and I'm so excited for what's to come for folks. So give us an overview of each of those 4 steps, if you will.
Okay. With a caveat that you have to interrupt me if I talk too much, because this is where I get a bit table thumpy.
Of course.
Because this is where I'm like, okay, so first what you do. So the first thing that I realized is the biggest piece people get wrong is they start by believing that the map in their head is the same as the ground under their feet. And they're not. They're very different. So it's like imagining you've just been dropped in the middle of Paris and you're saying, right, I want to go to the Eiffel Tower. So you sort of tap someone on the shoulder and you say, show me where the Tour Eiffel is. And the first thing they do is show you the map and they go, look, you're here. This is where you need to go. We never do that bit for ourselves. We never look at our own map and go, where am I? Like, where hang on, am I on the Champs-Élysées or am, you know, what bank of the Seine am I on? We have to first get clarity. Where am I standing? Like, where are my feet planted? And how rocky is that terrain? So the T of Tame Your Brain stands for terrain. It stands for understand your bedrock first. And the bedrock, another word for bedrock is stratum, which I love. And stratum defines like all these layers, like all those layers of crud that we talked about earlier, all of those rolling in the mud that we've done throughout our life. We've got to be aware of that, because unless you take account for what your triggered responses are, what your pattern of the world. So as females, for example, April, we form our model of the world age 6 to 9, roughly. And what happens to us between those ages has a huge pivotal effect on what we believe about people do this, men do that, friends treat me like this, I'm a good person because, I'm a bad person because. And very often as females, we get silenced quite a lot in those years, because that's when we're beginning to be in that, hey, I've just come up with something. And we get really vibrant, right? The world doesn't really like that. Bossy, overbearing, arrogant. Those are all
things.
Yeah. Too much, right? I got called all three of those things between age 6 and 9. And that dimmed your light a bit. That makes you get back in your box for a bit and you go and sit in that corner for a bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And as females, sometimes we have to unwire that as well. And so I do a lot of unwiring with the clients that I work with one-to-one. We go into the subconscious brain and we unpick those layers, because this is all part of your terrain. This is all part of where you're coming from, right? Mm-hmm. And so this first step is so important, because it's shining the light. It's giving you that 1,000-watt Klieg light view of, okay, where are we starting from? Because until you know where you're starting from, you can't know where you're going.
I love it. I love it.
That's our step one.
Okay, so that's the T.
That's the T.
Amazing.
So then once you've got that, and you can't do the next bit until you've done this bit. And this is where a lot of people go wrong, because what they do is bright, shiny penny syndrome. They go and they see a coach who's where they want to be and they buy into that coach. Then they see another coach who's where they want to be and they buy into that coach. And they spend their money on the comparisonitis game, grasping out of the air the beautiful, shiny bubbles that they see. They never connect with self first. And everything starts here. Everything starts with self. And until we get blinding clarity on self, the next step of aim, so the A stands for aim, can't happen. So if you imagine like a plane taking off from a runway, there's a moment, there's a glorious moment when you free yourself from the rules of physics and you throw that tin of metal into the air. And the point is, as soon as that plane is airborne, you've got to point it somewhere. You've got to shoot it at a direction. Unless you know where you're going, unless you know what airport you want to land at, if you're even 1 degree off from that airport, you could end up in Bognor Regis instead of Bali.
Right.
Trust me, if you've not been to Bognor Regis, you want to be in Bali. It's just, it's a no-brainer if you're not British.
Great, great.
So when you take off, and again, you've got to clear the runway, you've got to prep yourself before you do this aim part of checking with your terrain. Okay, what do I need to move first? What do I need to shift before I can actually start aiming? And then once you've thrown that metal in the air and taken that massive action, because this is where a lot of people get stuck. They don't do this bit well of actually getting to the point of, okay, this is where I want to go. And again, you've got to be really precise about that. There's no point just saying, I want more money. You know, a lot of people come to me because they see the results I'm having with people. I work with 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure. I've got 1 9-figure entrepreneur that I work with. They see those results and they go, I want more money. And I'm like, how much? Because £1 more is more. How much do you, what do you want? What's your aim? What is it that you want from this? Because that's where you need to get clarity too, because your brain is amazingly powerful. And once you've plugged in your coordinates, once you've plugged in your GPS, it starts doing things for you. It starts scanning the environment. Your reticular activating system starts looking. It starts filtering the environment for you once you've asked a very clear question. So we have to put our aim in question form. How can I fill in the blank? What is
That's
it that
amazing.
You want? And you've got to be really precise on that.
And I like the specificity of it, because I can see this going two ways. Sometimes I actually had a conversation with a good friend recently who said, you know, I'm having to go this different direction in his own business. And he said, I feel like I'm failing. And I said, well, what did success look like? And he's like, you know, it wasn't actually possible for me to succeed. There wasn't a success. Ooh. And we sometimes when we don't achieve the undefined success that might in fact be impossible, it adds another, I'm going to use your terminology, but another layer on top of that crud where now we're being critical about ourselves for not achieving a thing that doesn't exist. Mm. I mean, that's just adding difficulty and friction to an already difficult endeavor. Like business involves some challenge and we're just adding to it.
But what's funny, April, is that you get these people who are relentless achievers. And the reason they're a relentless achiever is because they don't satisfy. But there is a massive difference between coming from a place of lack where you say, I'm still not good enough. If I get here, then I'll be good enough. There's a massive difference between that and I am on a never-ending improvement journey. And the more I do, the better I feel. When people operate from lack, they are going to self-combust at some stage. Yes. When you operate from that understanding, you will always be the protege, you will always be learning, you will always be improving. That is different because you're already winning. And I've got one beautiful entrepreneur who I work with. I've been working with her for 4 years now, and we've worked together on her first business, which is at the sort of eight-figure mark. She's now on her second business. And what's beautiful, and I know she won't mind me sharing this because we've started to laugh about it now. But what's beautiful was there came a point for her where she was expressing this frustration about what she's not there yet. She's not there. And I said, well, what will make you there? I want you to say out loud what you're not enough in. And the list was hilarious. Mm. Well, I don't own enough properties and I don't own enough and I haven't done enough this. And maybe when I have another business and maybe, and I was like, can you hear what you're doing? And then she just had this moment where she was like, oh God. And we sort of zoomed in on that not enoughness. And we did some switching over and we changed some circuitry. And she's now flying on her second business as well. But this is something we do to ourselves. Again, these are the thoughts that we think. These are the emotions that we run. And therefore, it's the biochemical cascades that make us feel those things.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hit me with the M.
M is move. Really simple. Really simple. All of the aim in all the world is not enough if you don't move. It used to be that knowledge was power. It used to be in the olden days when people sort of discovered learning and when we started to move things around the world, when the first printing presses happened and books happened, knowledge became power and only wealthy people owned a book, right? And so the wealthier you were, the more knowledge you had. And so knowledge became this learning. And it, only if you were wealthy could you afford not to work in the fields and go and learn. So like the University of Cambridge, where I went, was established in 800 AD. It's like one of the oldest universities in the world. It's hugely sort of ancient and it's such an honor to have studied there with some amazing brains. But what you see when you walk around is how much wealth there is in there as well, because it was intrinsically linked to wealth. So power was knowledge, wealth was power, and that they became inextricably linked. Now we've got all the world in the palm of our hands, in our iPhones. And so suddenly, knowledge is not enough. All the knowledge is there. You can learn how to run a business from your iPhone. You could sit at home and run a business from your iPhone. The knowledge is not enough. It's the action that is the power now. So if you do not move, if you do not take those steps, even when you're scared, even when you don't know how, even when you haven't figured out yet what the how is, even if you're not sure, you still have to move. You've still got to start taking those slow, steady steps, because the paralysis, and for the tiger brains, and we'll come on to that in a minute, but for tiger brains particularly, they go into this analysis paralysis where they freeze because it has to be perfect, right? It's got to be perfect. So I'm just going to wait until I know everything. I'm not going to do anything until I know everything, until I'm sure that this is 100% perfect. And they sit there. And I have to poke them with a big stick. Come on, let's go. Come on, it's time. Version one is better than version none. Let's go. And so that's, you know, that's what a tiger needs to move. But everyone's different. All the different brain types need a different stimulus to move because their pain and pleasure quadrants are slightly different depending on what neurology they're running.
Amazing.
So working out how to move is one of the biggest gifts as an entrepreneur to get.
That's incredible. I hope that's some good foreshadowing, P.S. for the audience that's listening to this. We're going to get into just a unique way of understanding your approach to the world. And you alluded to it a little bit with this notion of a tiger brain, but we're going to get into that. So, and it's so interesting. So stick with us for a second. Let's get the E in there and then let's hop into how all of this relates to these brain types. And we'll go over all of that fun stuff.
So the E's are really interesting. The E's are about what happens once you've thrown that plane in the air, once you've set your GPS coordinates for where you're going, once you've taken that massive action, once you've started, then what? And this is where a lot of people self-sabotage because they read the signs wrong. So in a plane, for example, once you've taken off, you are actually off course 98% of the time that you're in the air. Why? Because a gust of wind blows you this direction. A flock of birds lifts up and you have to detour this way. Traffic over Munich airport means you have to go that way. You know, you're always off course, but what do? You course correct. You course correct. You always come back to where am I going? Yeah. So the E is about reevaluate. You must evaluate what's happening. What's going on? Am I still on track? You've got to have regular points where you're looking at where am I going? And this evaluation is a constant process. It also goes with engineer. You must re-engineer. If you've blown off course, if you've been ill, if your kid's broken its arm, if your mother dies, I've had all of these happen in the last year and I'm still running a multi-six-figure business because why? I re-evaluate all the time and then I re-engineer. So my business is flying despite all of life. Life happens. I'm also a single mother of three. So I have all the jobs. All the jobs are mine. Like all the blue jobs and all the pink jobs are all mine. And right. So there are situations where sometimes I can't physically work because a kid needs me, because something's happened. And yet I still work. And yet I still make it happen because of this re-evaluate and re-engineer. There's also one last E, which is very important. Educate yourself about what's gone on. And a secret E that I don't usually tell people, which is bloody enforce it, make it happen and make yourself make it happen. Hold yourself to account, lead yourself to a higher standard is the way to think about it. So the E is a big one because that's all about the continuous process of improvement. It's never finished. And this is the glorious thing to realize about running a business, running a life. It's never finished. It's never done. You're always in this process of re-engineering what you've created and making it better.
That's so good. And I love your analogy of the plane being off course the majority of the time.
All the time. Because
that's another space where we really get down on ourselves.
Yes.
You know, there's this script for life, right? By a certain point, you've sort of settled down and partnered up. And by a certain point, you are more stable in where you live. And by a certain point, maybe you've had a family, all of those check marks. First of all, you see people who check every single one of those boxes, yeah, quote unquote, on time, and they're still not fulfilled. And then you see people who hold themselves to that standard, things don't work out that way, and they feel self-critical. And so I love that the individual nature of this and deciding what that path is for you rather than defaulting to the set of check boxes that were sort of fed. And then also the fact that it's okay to be a little bit off course, that we're going to be constantly, you know, it's another analogy that I just have never thought about, like riding a bike, you're constantly falling over, but you're just making
one or the other, but you're always correcting.
Yes,
yeah.
That's so good. That's so good. I swear, if you take nothing away from this episode, take that away and just keep that in mind as you're moving through life for the next couple of weeks. It's okay. Like that is such permission.
And also it's about understanding. I am a terribly flawed person. You know, I have anxiety about things. I have sadness about other things. I have intensity about things. That's okay too. You're going to feel all the feelings. We're humans. We're a human being, not a human doing. We're not our actions. We are our being. And so you've got to allow for that human experience to happen in amongst all of the other things that you're trying to do, because you can't be a machine. You can't. That's not our biochemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. Okay. I want to transition to what we alluded to before. There's a set of sort of brain types that you have developed and that are in development constantly and being researched.
Yes.
Can you give us an overview of maybe just like run us through what types there are and then we can dive into each of them?
So there's four basic neurologies that exist in the world. These are studied to the nth degree. There are so many profiling tools out there. You might have heard of Myers-Briggs, Thomas International, DISC, PRISM. HBDI is the one that I preferred when I first started this, but I realized that also had some gaps. There's talent dynamics, there's wealth dynamics. my profiling tool is one that I've created based on what the gaps were that I saw from my neuroscience education and what I saw from my entrepreneurial journey. So I'm a partner with the Entrepreneurs Institute. I talk for them once a month and I do a Tame Your Brain talk for them. There's about 3 million people now, I think, in Entrepreneurs Institute, people around the world that are building a business. And what I realized was the brain that you have dictates what pleasure or pain you feel. Mm. And each brain type sees the world through their goggles. So I wear lion goggles all the time. I'm a lion brain. That means my priority is people. My focus is always the who. My main question is who. Who are you? Tell me your story. Tell me where you've come from. How can I serve you is the modality that I'm in, because I'm about people over process. Tigers are the opposite of that. It's not that they don't care about people. It's just that they look at the process first. So their filter is set to process. So they're about, let me build a structure around this. Let me organize this. When I put this in the line, then I'll understand it. Then they look at the people. So depending on which your neurology is running first, you will see the world and you will prioritize it in different ways. So if you think about the way that this works, it's almost like we've got a spring, summer, autumn, winter vibe going on. So the cheetah brain is the starter of things. The cheetah is the highest energy of the group. Cheetah brains are 70 miles an hour or stop. They talk really fast. Let's go, guys. Come on. What's next? What's next? And they're always thinking what. Their keyword is what. So they're always about the big idea. They've got vision that's continent level. They're so zoomed out. We call them the head in the clouds. They're this high level vision. They can strategize and see for miles because they're all about concept. So they're about innovation and significance. They like to be attached to their own idea. But they don't need people. They're almost like, what? Sorry, what did you say? Because they're always thinking about the next big thing. Mm-hmm. So they've got this conceptual brain. They can synthesize lots of ideas together, but they don't like the small talk. They sort of look at people like, what are you? Hang on. They're so focused and so driven that they can achieve amazing things. They sometimes forget to bring people with them. So after spring, that's like the spring of our group. That's the creator of things. After spring comes summer. So this is what we call the lion brain, which is where I sit. And this is all about the warmth, the variety, the fun, the chit chat. My partner laughs because every time I try and go to the supermarket with him, he's like rolling his eyes as I learn the life story of the checkout lady because I can't help myself. And I have to talk to her and I'm like, so how was your day? And then he's standing there going, dear God, it's been 10 minutes. They're holding up the queue now. And it's like, we even tried click and collect. And I got out the car. And then when I got back in the car, he was like, you do realize you've just delayed that poor girl by like 5 minutes longer than it should have taken her just to drop off some bags. I can't help it. That's my modality. That's where I live. So lions are all about collaboration. Lions hunt together, sleep together, eat together. The pride, the group, the community is everything to them. And they are like the cheerleaders in the room. They've got the arm around the shoulders. They organise the leaving do and the baby shower. So they're always focused on the people experience. They remember everybody's birthday. The tiger will forget, not because they don't care. It's just not as important. It's not as a priority. For the lion, that's like if I forget Doreen's birthday and that she's 80 today, and if I don't send her some balloons, I've failed as a human. Whereas the tiger light is, oh, that's interesting, it was your birthday, nice. So it's just a different focus. Then we go around the corner, and by the way, their modality is auditory, so they talk all the time and they don't even know they're doing it. The modality for the cheetah is visual, so they see for miles, they see in pictures, they see the vision that's creatable before it's actually real. So they can visualize something, they can create something in their brain that doesn't exist. It's a huge superpower for business and things like enterprises and podcasts, and you know, it's a real insightful. So you've got visual, then you've got auditory, then we've got the leopard. And the leopard just feels things. The leopard is a kinesthetic modality. So their voices are just a bit slower and they'll say things like, it just doesn't feel right. I'm just not feeling it. They don't even have the words to express that because they don't operate in words. They're not auditory. They're kinesthetic. So the most you'll get from them is, I've just got a gut feeling. Don't push them because they'll dig their heels in because they are absolutely not to be sold to. They will be the last to buy because they're always risk averse. They're checking everything. And they want to systemize. So whereas the lion is the summer, we're now into the autumn. All is safely gathered in. These people are all about context, connection, but collaboration around contract. So whereas the lions are collaborative and connective around people, these are about the terms. Don't ever break your word with a leopard. That's it. Trust is broken. You must do what you say. They are all about a fair deal. So this is the earthy energy, whereas the lion is a fire energy, and the high level cheetah is a very, very vibrant wood energy. We go around the cycle to this autumn energy, and suddenly we're grounded. Our feet are on the ground. So the cheetah's head in the clouds. This is like Google Street Map. I know where you live.
Yeah.
So they're very, very about timing and precision. These guys make great project managers. My VA, Sophie, she's an amazing leopard brain. And that's why I hired her, because she complements me. I'm up here. I'm a mixture of cheetah and lion. She's down here. She can sort out all the admin that I will fail over and over again at. So she does all those pieces, and she loves doing them because she's really good at it. It's in her flow state. It's not in my flow state. Breaks me out of flow, drains my energy, exhausts me, and I get it all wrong. I'm terrible at it. She's brilliant at it. So suddenly we get this understanding of where the brains go. So then the final one, as we move into the winter of the cycle, is all about precision, data, risk averse. They're seen as pessimistic. They're not. And this is a steel energy. And how flexible is a bar of steel? Not so much. So we get to the mighty tiger. The tiger is a solitary beast. They are happy to work in a darkened room with a curtain shut. Leave me alone. I'm very busy. I've got to get this done. Don't talk at me, because your small talk distracts me. Because they don't need the small talk. Why? They're auditory digital processors. So as they listen, they're already thinking. They can't switch that off. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Everything they hear means something, and they're already figuring out the meaning. And they're already working out, where's the cost in this? What? How much time is this going to take? How much energy have I got to put into this? Because they're already short on energy, because they are that perfectionist. And I do have to tell them, you know, version one is closer to version done than version none. So, you know, crack on, sunshine. We've got to get this going, because they will delay. They will be there tweaking. They're like the mechanic. Lift the bonnet, fiddle with it, make it better. Make it better, make it better, make it better. Hang on. No, I know you need it, but I'm still making it better now. And we have to hurry them along, because otherwise they would spend all day making it better, because that's their superpower. That's what they do in the world. And as we go into this zone, and as they're auditory digital processes, also it becomes harder for example, a lion brain to be understood by a tiger brain. Why? Because they value very different things. So if you imagine a barbecue, The cheetah goes, let's have a barbecue. Brilliant idea. I'll make this really complicated recipe for fish cakes that I've never made before. But now is the perfect time. And they'll start.
Why not?
Why not? They'll start wrecking the kitchen. The lion's like, let's do karaoke. I'll invite everyone I've ever met, even though I've not seen them for 2 years. And they're on their phone, like connecting with everyone. The leopard is immediately, what about the vegans? Have we catered for them? Have we got enough chairs? I know. I'll do a spreadsheet. And they bring out their clipboard. And then the tiger's like, you do know it's going to rain at 3. Have you even got a gazebo? Because they're already thinking about what could go wrong. And each of them is at the same event, but they all value different things. So they all focus on a different part. And this is what we do in life. And that's why we walk around the world thinking everyone thinks like us and they don't. So we end up misunderstood. And we think everyone feels like us and they don't. So we end up having these miscommunications. And not knowing ourselves enough means that we don't understand what's our push and our pull. And that's where I come in with my little tool of my big cat business brain and make it all better.
What I think is interesting about this is that there is so much applicability to what you just said, both in self-understanding, which when we have that, the first thing that I find that gives to people is a level of compassion that they didn't have before, because we looked at our own behavior and we were like, oh, this is just because I'm terrible at it and I'm doing it wrong and everybody else is good at it and I can't be, and whatever, there's something wrong with me. So you get this level of self-compassion when you're like, oh, there's actually a really point-addable reason why I approach the world this way.
And you're so clever to zoom in on that, because that's the biggest gift, I think. And I've literally had I've had C-suite level executives cry when I told them about their profile, because they sort of get this sense of release of like, that's why I get it. And then they start to understand their team. And then the leadership team starts to function. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So self-understanding and compassion, one, also in relationships with others. But then when I think about what this means for a team, or even if you work on a team, trying to understand how to work well with each other, it's such a huge gift to be able to anticipate how those other people might come to the table. I was in an interview the other day and someone said it so beautifully. Actually, I think it was, I was interviewing Sharon Salzberg for a summit that I was working on. And she said, how many people have to do their job well for you to do your job well?
Oh,
like if you think about that, it, right? Like punching
what
the stomach.
A brilliant question.
How yeah. interconnected are we at work? And the more you can know about the people around you and how you can best support and collaborate with them, the better. Like how many people have to do their job well for you to do your job well? It was such a foundational question. It was so good.
And
this is such
a
good tool.
Oh God. But in big organizations, and I've gone into some behemoths like Merck Pharmaceutical, I was their external consultant for a couple of years, and they've got like a sales force of about 80 at any one time. And, you know, that's a lot of people in a pot. And what you find is you get this thing called presenteeism when companies don't employ these yeah. sorts of tools, where the body's there, the mind is gone. You know, they really don't care anymore. And what I loved about working with Merck was they employed me because they recognized how important this keying into each other is.
Yeah.
And this understand this empathy of each other and understanding, oh, they're not meaning to be rude. That's just a tiger way of saying it. Oh, well, look, I know I'm messing with your head here as a leopard, but I'm sorry to like break the information flow, but I do need you to come over here and do this. And as soon as people start doing that with compassion and care for somebody else's flow state, the whole company lifts, the whole thing just becomes so much brighter and more connected.
That's so good. Okay. So you have an assessment, right? Where people can figure out
yes.
what they actually are.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that assessment? Because probably from listening to these, you have a little hunch as to where you would fit.
Oh, it's so funny. I try not to. I try never to guess when I meet someone until I've profiled them.
But oh, you were dead on with me. I guarantee. I obviously
sure?
should probably take the assessment.
We're going to have to do a profile. We're going to have to. But it's coming out of people. It's above your head. It's hovering like the questions people ask, the angle they come in at. Regardless of the topic matter, the angle of people's interest is what tells you what they are. And it's so yeah. fascinating. And yeah, so I've built a tool. There's a quick test that people can take, which is like 10 questions just to get a rough idea. And if it intrigues you, then please do connect with me and get a full profile done because it's so fascinating. And you get a whole like 32-page report about your strengths, your weaknesses, your challenges, your struggles, where you procrastinate, which I actually find the most useful when I work with people in entrepreneurship. And by the way, I do other coaching as well. I do work with some people on their relationships because neurology applies everywhere, right?
Yes.
I work with some people with their families. I've just helped a young kid who's struggling with revising for maths. He wrote this really sad list of things that said things like, maths is stupid. Maths makes me want to hurt people. And like he was so in his head about maths. And what's lovely is that we did a couple of sessions together. I helped him with his neurology around that. He went from a U grade to a B. And I was so happy for him. But it was all just limiting beliefs, all just stuck in his own head, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you're intrigued by this, get your profile done. It's you won't ever regret knowing more about yourself. And you won't ever regret like sinking into how does my brain actually work? Because as soon as you get your brain working with you, not against you, life just feels so much better. It feels so much easier. And you stop the fighting, you know, you stop the working against your own neurology and you start to go with it. It's called flow state. And it's something that we've got a greater understanding of in the last 15 years when we invented functional MRI technology. We could see the blood flow changing in people's brain. And also athletes started using it. And when athletes start doing anything, we can see the high jump bar raise, you know?
Yeah.
And we start getting a real tangible, quantifiable, not just a theory, not just a concept, not just like, oh, it's in a book, it might be interesting, but an actual, how do I apply this? And so I'm really excited about this as something that I think everyone should do.
That's amazing. Okay. Can you give people the URL as to where they can
sure.
go take their own profile? And I think you said you have a discount for folks who are listening
yes.
to the show.
always happy to honour these lovely podcasts which are guests on. And this has been such a fun experience. Thank you, April. So anyone that mentions your name and the name of the podcast, really happy to offer a 10% off. And this is for a full profile. It also comes with a 1 hour strategic analysis with me where we apply it to your life. So it's not just the report, because these are all generated by computer these days, aren't they? So, and what I've realised from the, I think it's 6 years that I've been doing this now, it's the blend of your numbers, of your percentages. Because, for example, I'm a double dominant. I'm not just one big cat. No one's just one thing. We can all do everything, but it's just about which one's most frequently used by your brain. Yeah. And it's almost like which big cat to let out of its cage is the way I think about it.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I know that if I let my cheetah brain run, there comes a point where I've got to put it back away again and go back to lion, because lion is my predominant state. So the cheetah comes out, has a little play, comes up with some crazy ideas. I invent 3 courses in a day. Then I put the cheetah away and I go back to my lion state, because that's where I live. And so applying it to your life is actually really cool. And we talk through, you know, what's your situation, what's your relationship, and we work out what tweaks and twitches to make. So to access this, probably the quickest way is to drop me an email, which is just libby@kemcarron.com. You can also check me out on my website, which is kemcarron.com. And I've got loads of lovely reviews that people have been kind enough to leave on Google as well, and on LinkedIn. So there's lots of places you can go and see what I do. But yeah, just either drop me a line and mention the podcast, or you can click on book a call on my website and you get a free 20 minutes with me before you go ahead with anything. I do have some spots for one-to-one coaching. I am usually pretty booked up, as you can imagine. At the moment, everyone's keen to, you know, get. I think the pandemic has created such a shift in consciousness of, yes, of people realizing life is short, and people realizing I better get on with this, because I need to live my best life now. I need to move things so that I am in alignment. I need to design my life, and that's what I'm thrilled to do.
Oh, this is so useful for people, and there were so many places where I wanted to dig in even further. You need to come back on, because this could be about 4 hours long. We really just scratched the surface, I feel like. I highly suggest people take you up on your offer to get that profile done. If for no other reason, I mean, the way that we speak to ourselves, the critical way, self-critical way, yes, that we speak to ourselves, mm-hmm, is so damaging. And if we can, any tool that we can use to increase our level of self-compassion increases our performance. It increases the way that we show up and enjoy life. And I'm a huge proponent of how short the time that we have in life is, and keeping that in mind, we owe it to ourselves to enjoy the time that we have here and make the most of it. So I'm so appreciative for you coming on and offering this incredible overview. I'm just going to call it an overview because there's so much depth we didn't hit, but so appreciative of you for coming on and sharing this with everyone and for all the work that you've done to put it together.
Thank you, April. Thank you for having me. It's been brilliant.
Friends, stay with me for just a little bit. There are a few resources I want to make sure that I get in your hands, and I'll make sure that we also drop the link to Libby's website and also her email address in the resources as well, so that you can get quick access to that profile if you're interested. Again, you can get 10% off if you mention my name or the podcast. I'm definitely doing it. I'm so excited.
You're so up.
All right. I'll be back in just a minute with some fun resources. All right, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Libby Kemcarron. It was funny because before we hopped on to record, before we hit the record button, she she pegged me perfectly with what I think my couple of profiles are likely. She said, I sound like a cheetah tiger. So fast energy, very visual, visionary kind of person, but also somebody who really likes process. And the process that is behind making this podcast happen is hysterical. And so she totally had me pegged. If any of that sounded interesting to you, holy cow, please go take her assessment. It's something that I'm very interested in doing, and I'm getting some more information from her about how to do it. Anytime you can understand yourself at a deeper level, it is a good thing. So in the additional resources, the first couple of things I want you to know about: one, I've got a link to Libby's website. go take her up on that free 20 minutes. Why not? And then two, her email address that she generously gave out, libby@kimkaren.com. That's on there if you want to shoot her a note and you want to get more information about getting your own profile and assessment done, send her an email. There's two more resources that I want to let you know about. And they kind of relate to some of the conversations that we had. The first one is a blog post called Judgy McJudgerson. This is a blog post that my partner Ashley Smith wrote, basically talking about the tendency that our mind has to make judgments all the time. We do this without even realizing it. And ultimately, when we judge reality rather than just observing reality, we can end up in down a negative path or down an unhelpful path. There's a lot in this blog post, but it's a really great one for understanding some of those just general rails that our mind runs on in a very similar way to what, you know, Dr. Kim Caron was talking about in terms of understanding just how our mind is kind of wired and how that drives our behavior. So check out that blog post, Judgy McJudgerson, hysterical name that Ashley came up with, will help you understand one of those other basic processes that drives our behavior and our experience. Next, I wanted you to get reintroduced to episode 320 of the podcast. This is an interview I did with a woman named Nicole Byers. It's called Brain Hacks to Boost Productivity. And this is just another really, she's a neuropsychologist. It's another really practical application of neurology and neuropsychology to help you understand at a neurological level how your mind works and also put it into action in your life. This is a very practical episode if you find yourself wanting to be a bit more productive or figure out ways that you might be able to optimize and get a little bit more done so you have a little bit more space and leisure in your life. So episode 320, Brain Hacks to Produce to Boost Productivity with Nicole Byers. That is also linked below in this episode description and on the show notes page. You guys, I'm so thrilled that you were with me for this episode. I had such a great time speaking with Dr. Kim Caron. Libby, if you are listening, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are just lovely. I so appreciate it. And friends, and finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet, and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.